I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. All right, we are here with Sonny Hostin. It is Thursday, Holy Week.
Yes, it is.
And it's Easter weekend. Tomorrow's Good Friday. And I know that you used to do a very big Easter event at your house, which I unfortunately never got to go to, but you invited me.
You're right.
I always had family stuff. But are you still doing it?
You know, my kids, who are, one is about to be 18, the other one's 21, they want me to do it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Reviews were great. I would hear from people.
I just can't do it. It got so big that there were about 200 families that came.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a group of 7 and under, and then we had a group of, you know, 7 and over, and we literally spent all night thinking of clues for the 10 golden eggs that we would hide. We would hide a lot of different eggs, but the golden eggs you could cash in for a huge Easter basket. And so we had things like multi-step clues. One year, Raven Simone came, and she was one of the clues, and she was sort of hidden behind a tree,
and
the kids
hysterical.
Went crazy. One year, we had moving statues that had a clue. Another year, we had mathematical equations.
I can't believe I never went to this.
This one year that I remember the most, and you're not allowed to use your phones during it. So it really tests these children's knowledge. A pop culture, things like that. So one of the clues was, let me see if you'll get it.
I would have been too competitive.
Yeah, you would have been. But this is where one of the eggs was hidden.
Okay.
Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds.
So a mailbox? Or
yes!
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You win!
There we go, great.
So the kids were staring at that clue for like half an hour. And then finally one kid goes, couriers? And takes off down the driveway. And all the other kids
followed.
Start running, you know, and he got it.
It would have been me with the 7-year-olds, like trying desperately to win and get the golden eggs. I would have been out of my mind.
Well, some parents do that.
Yes.
And we do allow parents to help because why not? You know, these kids are 8 competing against a 14-year-old.
I would have loved it. And and then the idea of like Raven as a clue is great because she is like a human sphinx. I mean,
it was the weirdest thing. And I hate to be this person, but like, I never saw That's So Raven.
Right, sure.
That wasn't my generation. And so I didn't know.
You didn't get how big a deal she was.
No, she was just my co-host.
Right.
And she was and she still is my friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, you want to come over for Easter? And she said, sure. And I didn't even tell her there were going to be like hundreds of children there.
Poor
which
Raven.
Is totally my fault. And she comes in and she's like, Sonny.
Yeah.
You've got like hundreds of kids here. I said, yes, it's the Easter egg hunt. And she was like, "Oh no, I don't think you
like
understand."
Her kryptonite.
And I didn't understand. And even my own children were like, "That's Raven Simone."
Yeah, no, she's great. I mean, I'm probably
she played along though.
I'm as close to her as any former host of the show.
Yeah,
and I still talk to her quite a bit, and I get a kick out of her. And she's great with kids when
she
sees them.
She knows with them,
but it's work for her. I mean, there's no question.
Oh my gosh, I felt so. Afterwards, I said, "Should I pay you?" She was like laughing. I said, "I'm so sorry. I had no idea." That even my own children were running after her.
It's a famous View moment that I don't think you would know, but and I wasn't here for it either, but Nicole Wallace, when she first started working here, Raven was telling a story about basically, I forget, about signing autographs or being accosted. And Nicole Wallace, in a sincere way, said, are you that famous? And
yes, she is.
She is.
She is that famous. Like, like you know my kids.
Sure.
I mean, my kids hang out with Whoopi Goldberg, okay?
Right.
They've been to Whoopi's house. They don't get really starstruck, although they've gotten starstruck with Michael B. Jordan a couple times,
sure.
And stuff like that. But they acted like lunatics.
My kids they still watch Raven's Home, and they've watched all the original series too. And once or twice, it's been the closest I've come to cool is I've been sitting on the couch and gotten a call or a FaceTime from Raven while we're watching that show.
It's a big deal.
And the kids are like, "What?" I was saying it's like my dad. Like if I was sitting with my dad and Marsha Brady called him,
yes.
They're like, "Oh wow,
it's a big deal." My children became superstars at school. They were like, "You guys know Raven Simone?" They're like, "Yeah, we know Raven."
Yeah.
That was the first time they met her, but.
And my kid's also big Full House fan, so knowing Candace also has been a big thing for
you
that.
You become a cool mom.
Yeah, the closest I
cool
can get.
Cool dad.
Yeah. All right, so no Easter thing this weekend.
I think I'm just going to do like a go to brunch and then maybe go to a movie.
That's nice.
Right?
I like a holiday movie.
I think I want to do a holiday movie. I'm going to find something sweet to watch.
Yeah.
Maybe Ghostbusters.
I've heard good things.
Yeah,
I want to see
it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right, cool. I'm seeing tonight, we're going to the Aladdin 10th anniversary.
Oh.
Which I'm excited about.
That's
good. My daughter's a theater obsessed and my wife, so we're taking them and then we're going to the party afterwards.
Oh, that's
and
a
Whoopi's
good one.
Whoopi's
going
to be there. It's very exciting.
That's a good one. Yeah. I actually can't make it to that one, but I wanted to. Oh. I like Aladdin.
I like Aladdin too. And then we'll have Easter with my family. But all right, so we have an update here. We know you hurt your wrist doing a Zoom rollerblading event. Can we get a cast update? Because suddenly one day, as eagle-eyed viewers noticed, you went from having a soft cast to a hard cast.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, apparently, I'm a non-compliant patient.
I'm shocked by that. Shocked, I tell you.
I was trying to get away with a fractured wrist and torn ligaments in an air cast. And I was supposed to keep it on all the time except for when I showered. And even when I showered, I was told if I could cover the cast, I should shower with it.
Yes.
But I was
trash
going
bag
to,
in the shower kind
yes,
of thing?
Basically. Yes, basically. Mm-hmm. But I was going to my daughter's debutante.
Yes.
And so I know that sounds very antiquated, but yes, people still do that. It's an organization called Jack and Jill of America. And I took it off because it didn't match with my dress.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not someone who notices dresses. I did see a photo of you and your family. You looked fabulous, I have to
right?
say.
Right?
I kind of got it.
It was a beautiful gold and like brown, glittery type
dress. I don't know if
dress.
It was worth breaking your wrist further, but you looked fantastic.
Well, I injured my wrist further, and I am now in a fiberglass cast that I'm completely now immobile.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is an upside.
There is. Tell us about it.
So what I have been doing is I've been collecting signatures from some of our guests.
Yes.
So Stormy Daniels was my first signature, which means this is now presidential history.
Yes.
Right? My cast.
Yes.
Giselle Bundchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Supermodel
Chelsea,
history.
Yes. Supermodel history. Chelsea Clinton.
Yes. More presidential history.
Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
Arguably more presidential history.
Absolutely.
I mean, any way you look at it, this is now a very important fiberglass cast.
It is. So what happens when it comes off? Are we going to auction it? Are you going
to put it in a frame
somewhere?
I could put it in a frame. There are many things that I can do with it because I have to have it on for another 3 weeks.
Okay. And
we're going to have more guests.
Of course you will. Yeah.
And so it's. I mean, I'm leaving space.
Yeah, I mean it's tricky now because
it's
you only
tricky.
Have so much space left, and
it
you have to really
tricky,
prioritize.
But you know, it's a good one. I've missed some people, and I'm like a little annoyed with myself. But
yeah, no, I mean that's a problem. But you have to like really kind of figure out like who's
who
cast
adds
worthy.
To the, yeah, who adds yeah. to the
that's not the
presidential nature of what I'm
the historic nature.
It's exactly a historic nature of what I'm accomplishing. That's the silver lining.
Yeah. All right. Well, so it's good. And Manning's reaction to all this.
Well, there's a lot of I told you so's. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of you're non-compliant. You're one of those patients that, you know, I have difficulty with. It's that kind of thing.
Sure.
But it's fine.
I did notice Stormy seems to be rubbing off a little bit.
It's unfortunate. I made her sign. I had her sign on the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to use my hand too much, says my husband. And it's rubbing off. So I think I'm going to have to take a picture of it. But I believe I took a picture of it already. So I have it when it was
fresh.
It's still
part of history.
Yes, it's still part of history. It took, you know, when it was fresh. But.
I have the Hope Rolling Stone Obama magazine signed by President Obama.
Yes.
And it's faded entirely. You can vaguely see it now. It kills me.
I have the Hope t-shirt.
Oh, there we go.
And I'm keeping it and I may frame it.
Yeah, you should. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' group text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crazy story Joy told on the show a couple days ago about how she and Steve were driving on Long Island.
Yes.
And witnessed a man either roll or fall out of a moving vehicle on
yes.
the highway.
Yes.
Now, that was stunning, and all the hosts just sat there like stunned and maybe traumatized.
A little bit.
I've heard that you and Manny have had disagreements about whether you stop and help people in not similar situations, but when you're driving. Tell me about
this. I'm a stopper.
You're a stopper. This is good.
I'm a stopper. I'm a helper. It's just all about justice.
Yes.
It's all about making sure people are okay. It's all about humanity. What he reminds me of is that people are really litigious.
Yes, they are.
And there are a lot
of doctor.
And he's a doctor. And there are a lot of cases where, believe it or not, they teach this in medical school. There are a lot of cases where a doctor trying to do the right thing, pulls over to the side and helps someone, and they get worse or they die or something terrible happens to them, and they sue the doctor.
Yeah.
So there's actually exposure for pulling over, and you should probably just leave it to the professionals, but I can't help myself. If I see an injured animal, that animal is going with me.
In your car, yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's going in my car. If I see an injured person, I'm calling 911, and I'm waiting till the ambulance gets there because I need to know that person's okay.
Yeah.
And when I'm on an airplane and I'm traveling with Manny and they say, are there any doctors? I say yes.
You raise his hand.
I point right at him. I just point right at him, and he just stares at me. Like, he's just like,
like, seriously?
I do. I actually even did it on the beach in Sag Harbor once. Somebody was looking for Manny, and he wasn't there, and he was inside the house or on a bike ride, which he usually does when we're in Sag. And I said, what's the problem? They said someone is having a diabetic incident, and they've passed out. And I said, I am CPR certified, and one of my best friends is a nurse. I forced her to go inside and get some orange juice, and I went and I performed CPR.
I've never heard this story. When
sure
did this happen? That's
this
amazing.
This happened 2 years ago. Unfortunately, the man did pass away.
Oh, okay.
But the woman,
the
reason I got involved is because the woman, when I got there, his daughter said, Sonny, we're from Maryland. Can you help me? And I was like, of course. See, I used to live in Maryland, so I figured I knew them.
Yes.
But they just knew me from
the
show.
They knew you from the TV.
And they were asking me, they were giving me all sorts of information about him. Oh. So when the paramedics came, they said to ask Sonny because they were too hysterical. And I'm giving them all the information.
You got very much, you're a part of their lives. You're on television with them.
By
and
the
that's
way,
what happens.
Yeah. Every year that I see them, they thank me for trying to save their family's life. Oh, and well, I look at my husband.
You did everything you could do.
And I look at my husband and I say, you see?
Yes.
That's what you do in life as a human being.
Exactly.
You help others.
Yes. Or you try to help.
See,
others.
And I bet you people didn't know that about me.
No, I did not know that about you. Are you good in an emergency? Do you stay
I'm
calm?
Excellent.
Yeah, you don't get like panicked at all.
Never.
That's good.
My husband does, one thing he does say is he has never seen anyone in the midst of chaos become so calm.
Yeah.
We've had like a mini fire in the house. I went right for the fire extinguisher.
That's great.
Everybody else is screaming. One person's trying to throw water on a grease fire.
I did that once.
I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I know where all the exits are. Like I'm just very, I had a very chaotic childhood.
Yeah.
And so chaos brings me calm.
I partially burned the porch of my parents' house down by throwing water on a grease fire.
That nice job, Brian.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, well, you
can't.
Know.
You can't do that. You have to use a fire extinguisher.
Now I know. All right. I'm generally pretty good at an emergency. I think working here has kind of hardened me a little bit.
Oh, it's an emergency every day.
Yeah. So I think
I've tell you, nobody wants your job.
No, nobody wants my job, which is the best thing about my job. All right. We have a listener call for you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Question for Sonny. How many books did you read in 2023, and which one was your favorite? Thanks.
Oh.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, we have to read so many books
for the show,
and I read them all because I think it's an insult to the author not to read the books. So, mm-hmm. And then I like fantasy books, as you know, Brian.
I do.
And I like a romantic sort of beach read. My favorite book, of course, is Summer on Sag Harbor.
I was going to say, you write those things.
Because I write books.
Yes.
So my favorite book that I read and wrote was Summer on Sag Harbor, and that my other favorite is Summer on Highland Beach, which is coming out May 28th because I wrote that. But I probably have read, I don't know, 60, 70 books,
That's
maybe.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And
do you like to read on a Kindle? Do you like to read?
No, I need to hold the book.
You need to hold the book.
Yeah, I need to hold the book. And Audible doesn't work for me. Whoopi loves Audible, and I've tried, but my mind wanders
after about five minutes.
Yeah, I read much
I like it in a car.
Quickly.
I'll listen to it in a car.
Same.
Yeah, and that's good if I have a long trip or something.
Yes,
and I'm done with podcasts. I need something else. I'm good for that.
You know, I read so many good books. I'm thinking now, I also read The Other Black Girl. I read, that was good. Oh, The Vanishing Twin.
Ooh.
The Vanishing Twin may have been my favorite that I read.
Well, so it's something we do on the show often. We do the Ladies Get Lit every year.
Yes,
we'll be doing
that
again. Now, you've thought about hosting a book club, right? That's something you'd be interested in.
I'm really interested in it.
Yeah.
I've actually even trademarked a name for it. And it's just something that I'd be very interested in. I read so much.
Right.
And some things I read that I love and some things I read that I don't like. And I ask people for recommendations. Like I'm watching this show now on Apple TV called The New Look. And it's really about...
Oh, it's great.
Mm-hmm. It's about fashion designers, but it's post-World War... It's during World War II and then post-World War II. And then, of course, you know, Joy Behar reads and looks and watches and talks about everything World War II.
Yes.
And so I actually asked her for a book recommendation because now I'm more fascinated about that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, because I love fashion. But I am now reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Oh, wow.
Which, like, my husband was like, why are you reading that? Yeah. And I'm very fascinated now about that time in history.
Looking for parallels. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. Some of the things that I'm reading are happening now.
Yeah. Scary.
So.
No, I think that's great. And, you know, the View sells books like no other show on television.
Isn't it unbelievable?
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And it's something that, I think because the audience is so interested in you guys and so invested in what you like and care about, if you say you like a book, then they're interested in it. So a book club is a natural thing.
I take that really seriously, actually. And as you know, so if I say to you, like, you know, I really loved this book,
mm-hmm.
I really did.
Right.
Like,
no, you guys don't give false praise to guests.
We really don't. You know, if I say, you know,
even for
this
movies
book didn't
and
make
things
sense
like that.
To me.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And I welcome people to then read it.
Sure.
And decide for themselves.
Yeah.
So I love the book club thing.
Absolutely. All right, so we did a topic today about deciphering a man's mind. I heard you are currently trying to decipher what Manny is talking about in a disagreement you're in about your dog, Harlow. Tell me about this.
Yes, and I still haven't figured it out, actually. Maybe as a man, you can give me some perspective.
I get frustrated when you guys talk about the...
I don't get it.
The trouble with men all the time.
But, I don't understand what happened. So,
okay.
We have two newfies.
Mm-hmm.
They are winners. They won our pooch contest,
yes,
right?
Yes, they did.
They are also 150 pounds.
Yes.
So one of them, Harlow, had a vet appointment. The vet appointment was for 8 a.m. during the week. I usually need to be here by no later than 8:30.
Correct.
Because that's when our Hot Topics begins.
I stand by that, yes.
Yes. So I said to Manny, oh no, Harlow has to be dropped off by 8 o'clock. I guess I can try to drop her off earlier, but it's going to make me late. I said, what time do you need to go to work, be at work? He said, 9. I said, oh, okay. And I was still thinking about how to get Harlow there. And he said, I'll do it. I said, oh, great, thanks.
Nice of him.
Then he gets a bad night's sleep. He has to wake up an hour earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of like in the house, relaxing. So he sends me a message. He's like, the least you can do is thank me for letting you sleep in, which I wasn't really sleeping in,
mm-hmm.
for taking Harlow to the vet after you asked me to.
But he volunteered for it, you're saying?
He said,
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Did he say, I'll do it? Or did he say, fine, I'll do it?
No, he said, of course I'll do it.
Oh.
Of course I'll do it. So the of course he says implies that I asked him. But does it?
I think sometimes, so for me. And
again, by the way, this is his dog too.
Right. Now that's true.
So he's not doing anything for me.
Manny's a better person than I am. But I know that often I will say, like, I'll volunteer to do something, but I'm looking for some credit for it. I'm looking for some, like, appreciation for it. And if it's just kind of accepted that I did it and I don't get that, I could get a little surly.
I don't understand that. Like,
no.
You offered to do it, which right. means you volunteered. But he said, no, I kind of manipulated him into it.
Right. He might have done a preemptive offer knowing you were about to demand that he do it.
And I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to leave earlier and drop her off earlier, which is worse for the dog.
Right.
But I was going to do that. I didn't have him in the equation at all.
I occasionally feel taken for granted, and I think that's a husband trait. I think occasionally we feel like, you know,
I did this big thing because I took our dog to the vet.
And he let you sleep in. No, I mean, did he?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the one that gets up to feed the dogs. I'm the one that gets up to feed the cat.
That's like I'm home.
The one. I mean, come on. I take care of chickens.
You do. You have a lot of wildlife.
He eats the eggs.
He does.
From the chickens, but does nothing with the chickens.
Yeah, I hear
you. Do you see how agitated this has made me?
Yes. I think
it's a fundamental miscommunication.
It is. I think that saying that this
and
is
And he's wrong, isn't he, Brian?
Well, I'm not there, and I don't want to turn against my brother.
You see,
but
you see? I'll never understand.
I think depicting this as a male versus female thing.
Did
is
he not volunteer
accurate.
For it?
If he volunteered for it, but would it have killed you to say that was nice of you to do?
Of
that was good.
I'll do it.
Yeah. All right.
That's a volunteer. That's volunteer.
I
language.
Find this triggering. I'm going to be honest with you. It's fine.
This is
very reminiscent of conversations I have at home. Listen, and at home, we want to hear from you. Text or call us at the number in the description and let us know your take on this debate. I would like to know, did Manny deserve a little bit of a fluffing after this?
Or did he volunteer? Of course, I'll do it.
It is tough to get out and see your spouse sleeping still. I got to tell you, in the morning, that does kind of just like, okay. Just,
I mean, I don't understand.
All right. I think you guys are very, I think the idea that on the show that you guys say that, like, you know, men are closed off and I don't think that's every man. I mean,
no, Manny is actually a very good communicator generally. He's very emotional. He cries during commercials.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like an anomaly to me. I'm like, you volunteered. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Maybe I went too far. I checked my text messages and I screenshotted them and I sent them.
Oh, so it
him.
Was all on text message?
Yes.
Okay, because text message tone is very hard to decipher.
Well, I don't know. And then he said, can't you just say that you're wrong?
I responded to my old assistant with a K, and I offended them in a level that you'd never, it's like,
I don't understand. I was just, I'm not going to say all of it was on text. Some of it was on text. But the initial conversation was...
Now, will you discuss this with him more? Will you...
No.
Okay, no.
I don't let the sun set on anger. I said, oh, thank you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Well, he said I didn't mean it, and I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind saying I'm sorry if it makes somebody feel better.
Been married 20 years, never heard an I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry if I offend you. No.
Well, that's kind of the... to be honest, that's my sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I'd just rather say it than continue an argument.
Yes.
That's how you stay married.
Yeah. No, agreed.
I'm sorry.
Agreed. I read somewhere, it was very funny, that how married people don't actually ever, like, apologize or finish it. They just come up with some other thing to say, like, hey, the refrigerator's still running?
Oh, yeah, I don't allow that.
No, so you won't do that.
That's business as usual.
Yeah, okay.
If we've had a disagreement.
There's an accountability.
There's accountability piece. Yeah. And I will generally say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you didn't mean that.
Mm-hmm. But I said it.
I said it.
Yeah.
Like, give me credit for saying it.
I give you credit for saying it. All right. And I give you credit for an excellent podcast. Thank you for joining me, Sunny. As always, the number is below in our description to call us or text us with questions, as I said. And as a reminder, Behind the Table will be dark tomorrow, March 29th, and on Monday, April 1st. But we have a full week of new episodes of The View every day next week. Please don't miss it. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Behind the Table is executive produced by Brian Tetta. Supervising producers are Nathan Getty and Summer Shake, with production assistant Emily Darcy. The vice president of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi, and the executive producer of podcast programming is Laura Mayer. Special thanks to Lori Hogan, Susie Liu, Meg Fierro, Molly Kaiser, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Frankie Perez, Audrey Mostek, and Dana Schaefer.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.